You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Andrew Garcia, in today for Vicky Gonzalez. During the pandemic, a group of neighbors came together looking to clean up the local areas they lived near. These efforts soon expanded to removing the trash and debris that end up in Sacramento area rivers and waterways. In 2023, the three founded the River City Waterway Alliance, a small but mighty group that has grown over the years to a core group of about 50 to 75 volunteers, who over the years have pulled millions of pounds of trash out from local waterways, floodplains, and riparian habitats. Here to tell us more about their work are the founders of the group, David Ingram, Kathleen Farron Ford, and Lisa Sanchez. Welcome to Insight.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So how did the River City Waterway Alliance get its start?
Well, we were a group of very passionate individuals who cared about our community, and we came together during a time when our city was kind of under siege by trash and waste, and not just along the waterways, but just in general. I think the COVID lockdowns combined with some court cases were causing some real struggles, and so we got involved to kind of bridge that gap, and we ended up finding our spot within the creeks, rivers, and waterways.
Why do you think it's so important to clean the local waterways?
Sacramento is the river city, and not only do we have our two huge rivers, but we have lots of tributaries that flow into these rivers, and these rivers are our water source. They are habitat for wildlife, and they're a huge part of our city's identity for recreation, for neighborhoods and walking, and just enjoying the water. It is very important for keeping these waters clean.
Could you describe for the listeners what the main work of cleaning up the waterways actually looks like?
Yeah, so we're really hands-on. We have a group of very, very dedicated volunteers. We host 4 to 5 cleanups every single week, and we've done that sustained for over 3 years. We've hosted over 1,000 cleanups. We've removed 3.81 million pounds of trash and debris from local area waterways. And that includes things like shopping carts. We've almost removed 1,800 shopping carts, 1,751 tires, sadly over 24,000 used syringes that are carelessly discarded by folks and end up floating around in our waterways. So we go in and try to remove all of that before it ends up further down in the Delta.
When I hear the sheer number of pounds of debris that you all are removing, my mind immediately goes to like industrial level equipment. Do you all ever use like heavy duty equipment, or is all just people power?
We're blessed to have occasional opportunities to work with local partners that have equipment. Unfortunately, it's not as often as we would like. Maybe it's once every 2 or 3 months, and that really exponentially expands our capacity because we're not having to haul, load, and take waste to the dump, which we normally do. So we can have a cleanup where we remove 10 or 20,000 pounds in 3 hours when we have those partnerships. Whereas without that equipment, we're limited to usually 3,000 to 5,000 pounds.
But for the most part, it is just manual. We've got tools. We've got shovels and cultivators and hooks and ropes. But it is mostly just tenacity, hard work, teamwork, creativity. I mean, we're very determined and will, you know, employ lots of tactics to get that trash out. But it's by hand for the most part. And it is amazing what we can remove when we work together. It's really quite inspiring to see what can happen. And we've worked in some pretty tough areas in terms of just getting trash from point A to point B, but when we work together, we can get it done. But mostly it's by hand and without big equipment.
It's a real physical challenge, and in fact, Lisa coined the term creek fit because of the manual arduousness of it. It seems like we don't have to go to the gym very often. So I don't know if Lisa wants to talk about her creek fit.
There's benefits to getting out and pulling out trash other than just, you know, the love of doing it. You can get some some exercise while you're doing it. It does seem like there's a dedicated group of volunteers that you all have. And I think I saw on the website that you refer to yourselves and those volunteers who clean up as the Badgers. Where does that name come from?
Well, we have one of our original Creek stewards, Dr. Roland Brady, came up with that term after seeing us work a few years ago when he first met us. He said we were so tenacious and we were just resilient and dug like badgers to get debris out of. At that time, it was Arcade Creek where we were working, and we have since fully embraced his his adopted area of Steelhead Creek.
It's a point of pride. Yeah.
It really is. And so when you get a badger patch, it means you have sustained yourself long enough with us to earn the honor of being a badger. So
there's a literal badger badge that you all give out to folks.
Yep. And they're not easy to obtain.
Hard work.
Yeah.
You all are a volunteer organization. In the past, we've had, you know, government agencies and researchers on who are doing similar work, like the folks who are overseeing the restoration of Poudre Creek. And in that conversation, they talked about the ecological benefits that arise over time when a waterway is cleaned up, like the return of plants and animals. Have you all noticed any ecological benefits from the work that you've been doing over the years?
The one thing I wanted to say really and quickly on that is that Steelhead Creek, which is our main project area right now, there's about 7 miles of it that connects the Sacramento River by Discovery Park up to Dry Creek. And the Dry Creek watershed historically has housed some amazing salmon spawning habitat. So the salmon have to get up Steelhead Creek to get to Dry Creek to even get up into Auburn Ravine, up into Loomis, Secret Ravine, Hidden Ravine, up in those areas. So by removing physical obstructions to fish passage, we have seen a pretty dramatic increase in the number of salmon that the Dry Creek Conservancy is seeing up in their watershed.
Wow.
This past year, they counted 254 salmon. A few years ago, it was down to zero. So we had 254. That's the most in 11 years and the third most in 21 years. So we're seeing some increases in those endangered Chinook salmon getting up into those spawning habitats, which is really exciting for us to see. And there's other ecological habitats that we're seeing, too, if Lisa and Kathleen want to chime in on those.
I was just going to say, anecdotally, I would say we'd also have seen a huge increase in the number of birds. There have been areas where there's been virtually no bird song, and then after a while they start to return. It's been wonderful to see how resilient nature is, or other areas that have been burned out, melted plastic, real just dump sites. And after we get in there, clean it up, we see that area start to fill in again with plant life. And it's really encouraging to see that nature can heal when given the chance. And it's wonderful to be a part of that.
Speaking of that plant life, I think I also understand that another part of the work that you all are doing is looking to remove invasive species of plants. Is that correct?
Yeah, we have been working as kind of a phase two to remove invasive species. Our phase one is to remove the first layer, which is trash. You got to remove that before you can start working on the actual restoration portion to remove the invasive species. And within Steelhead Creek, it's a lot. The water primrose has pretty much choked out the channels and enclosed both sides of it. So there's really no open ability for these fish to be able to go through, nor come back down once they start to come downstream to be juveniles and stuff. So yeah, it's just been really nice. We've worked with the California Conservation Corps last year. We also had a presentation recently at the Sacramento Weed Management Area, which is a local subchapter, I believe, of like Cal IPC, the Invasive Plant Council. So we're working to see if we can get grants for a full restoration of the creek. I mean, we can clean, we can manually remove a lot of the invasive species that are there, which is hard work to do and very costly to do. So we're trying to offset the cost by doing it ourselves. But as for what it's going to take to restore the creeks, we're going to need some assistance with that. And we're on the path for that.
Yeah, we're really diving into some areas that have been neglected for literally decades. So it's a slow process, but we've made just insurmountable, monumental accomplishments just in a very short period of time. And I think people that thought that what we're doing was impossible just a few years ago are now starting to become a little bit excited. And doors are starting to open that were not open just a few years ago, just because we're demonstrating that this isn't a futile process, that we can actually get this done. By large part, just with volunteer efforts, not costing the city and the county, you know, millions of dollars, which is what it would cost if we weren't out there doing this work.
Yeah. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. If you're just joining us, we're talking to David Ingram, Kathleen Farron Ford, and Lisa Sanchez, the three co-founders of River City Waterway Alliance. So you all recently became a 501c3 nonprofit organization. You're cheering there,
yes,
David.
Yes.
What does that change mean for the future of the group?
Well, it opens up a lot more doors for us to be able to partner with governmental agencies. Grant opportunities increase. Right now, we do want to give a shout out to Sacramento Creeks Council, who is our formal fiscal sponsor. It was challenging that they helped us tremendously. But in terms of us standing on our own 2 feet and being able to apply for bigger grants and can accomplish our goals more quickly, this is the route we had to take. So we're excited to keep forging forward. I know Mayor McCarty was really excited that we got our nonprofit status. He awarded us, amongst 25 other organizations, as a nonprofit of distinction last year, which is very happy. And he gave me a wink and said, "You better get that nonprofit." And I said, "We're working on it." people are excited.
What do you see as the overall long-term goal as the group, as you've made big strides, like you're saying, over just a small amount of time?
I would say, short and long-term goal is to put some of these areas that we are working into what we call maintenance mode. And that's going to be an ongoing goal. But our first sort of phase is to remove the initial layer of trash. And like David said, some of which is, you know, decades in the making. We find some very old trash that's clearly been there for a very long time. We go in there and we very thoroughly clean, and then we go back. We're all going to always revisit because things, you know, happen. You know, we want to make sure that those areas stay clean. But so we have areas that are in maintenance mode, but we want to expand that. So that's one of our goals that we have now, and that will continue to be a long-term goal, is to put more of these areas into maintenance mode. We do so many events per week, and you know, it currently speaks to really the level of the problem. Hopefully at some point it won't be just about trash cleanup. It will be, like Lisa said, about really getting in there to do restoration. So more invasive species removal, or more maybe native plant planting or other restoration measures. But the trash removal is really the first step. So monitoring that and then moving on to next phases.
Just to kind of put things in perspective of what our amazing volunteers have accomplished over the last 3+ years, we average about 3,500 pounds of trash and debris removed every day. And we've sustained that pace for 38 months now. So it's unfortunately, it's an amazing accomplishment, but we're not even close to being finished. That's how bad things really are out there. And we're not the only group out removing trash and debris from local waterways. And we have pulled that much out. And I'm sure we're the leader in terms of trash removed from waterways in terms of volunteer efforts in this area, but there are other groups contributing as well. We appreciate their efforts.
It speaks to the dedication of not just to the three of you, but also I think the group of volunteers that you have. If people are listening to this right now and they want to get involved as a volunteer or support your work, how's the best way to do that?
We have a website, rivercitywaterwayalliance.org. It has a lot of information about how to get involved. It has a calendar of events and information about what to expect at our events. With 4 to 5 events each week, there are many opportunities. Because of the level of the work in terms of sort of maybe the strenuousness of it, and this nature of some of the things we find, such as, you know, needles, it's more for adults or older teens. It's not really for younger kids. But there are many ways to be involved and different levels, of course. Not everybody is able to get in there and lift really heavy things, but that's okay. We have something for everyone. Some people like to pick up micro trash or be available to take pictures or, you know, there's different, you know, as a kind of a machine, we have different things that we do. Maybe some people take things from point A to point B, and some people are loading things into a sled. Or, I mean, there's different ways that people can be involved physically at events. And of course, people can be involved as donors and supporters as well. But there are many opportunities to be involved at our events.
And we'll have links to that website on our webpage, Insight. David, we've got about 30 seconds. Do you have one more thing to
We have over 600 videos of some of our cleanup events that we posted on YouTube. They're also on Instagram. They're more easily accessible on YouTube. We have an Instagram account as well. I would just like to encourage people who think that they're not, maybe not interested in this, just to come out and check it out. We have a lot of folks that had no idea that Steelhead Creek was so beautiful when it's clean, and that Arcade Creek is an 18-mile beautiful corridor of wildlife right through, you know, multiple dozens of neighborhoods in Sacramento, right in our backyard. You know, we all hear about the Sacramento River and the American River Parkway, but we have other beautiful gems that deserve to be protected and to honor, to be honored and enjoyed. And just getting out to some of our events can really open people's eyes to how much is really out there and how blessed we are to live in literally a river city that has so many arterial wildlife areas just brimming with wildlife that wants to thrive. And we just want to help them. It's amazing.
And we have fun.
Yeah.
It's hard work, but it is really fun. And the camaraderie is amazing. Yeah. It's one reason why we have so many volunteers who keep coming out. The camaraderie is really wonderful. It's a great way to make friends.
Our biggest expense, operational expense, is taking volunteers out to lunch after our cleanups. And and we operate on really a shoestring budget. We don't have any overhead. No one is paid a salary. We have donated office space. We have no real overhead. So all the money that our donors give goes straight to helping us remove trash and debris from creeks and rivers. So.
Well, thank you so much for joining us here and talking about your work on Insight. David Ingram, Kathleen Farron-Ford, and Lisa Sanchez are the three co-founders of River City Waterway Alliance, a volunteer group that does cleanups of Sacramento area waterways. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Andrew Garcia. We're back in just a moment.